Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're in John, the 12th chapter. We're going to use as a text verse our first three verses. Also on the board. And so we'll start in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead when he raised from the dead. There they had made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, Lord, we thank you for this day and the blessings that you have given us. And Lord, we're so thankful for your Son who has died for us. And Lord, just ask that you'll give us the strength and Lord, the ability to testify and to share and Lord, to serve and to worship our Savior today. Lord, we're so thankful for each and every one that is here. And Lord, if there is any here that do not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, they'll accept you before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about one of my favorite chapters. I have shared with you some thoughts out of this chapter before. And we find Jesus at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it's kind of interesting that there are three distinct stories about this house and events that have gone on there. And we're going to talk about them and intertwine them just a little bit. The first one is when Jesus is teaching and Mary is sitting at his feet and Martha is working, and she gets upset that Mary's not doing what she's doing. And then the second one is in John, the 11th chapter. And really, the 12th chapter, what we're going to talk about today, happens because of the 11th chapter. In John, the 11th chapter, as we talked last week, Lazarus died. And Jesus comes to the house, and this is a house of mourning. This is a house of sadness. And the sisters are distraught and upset and hurting and convey that to Jesus. And remember all the mourners, those that were with the family and with Mary and Martha, and that when Mary came out, all these mourners came with her, and so there's a large crowd there. And so we find that this house was, there was a Bible study, and then it was a house of mourning, of mourning the dead. And then we come to the 12th chapter. And one of my favorite chapters, is just incredible how it describes it. It becomes a house of celebration. And in some ways, it becomes a house of worship. And these three family members, these three siblings, and there's, we're going to have a fourth character here, I think are a great illustration of church and church worship and a church family, the body of Christ. And it's kind of interesting that we're going to talk this morning of the celebration. We're going to see that Martha served. She cooked. And could you imagine, her brother was dead. Jesus is coming to her house. He has brought her brother back to life. Could you imagine the meal that she must have prepared to say thank you? And Mary, who approaches things a little bit different. It's not about service for her. It's about worship. And she comes and does something that is just incredible. She takes something, and her brother was dead, and she just somehow wants to say thank you for the incredible thing that God has done. And so she takes ointment. They each bring a different gift. And Lazarus, oh, the story he has to tell. And we're going to look at these three characters and how that I think we as a church need these three. And not only do we need them individually, we as children of God, as disciples for Christ, as church members, need to incorporate each one of these aspects into our life. Paul says it like this. It's kind of interesting. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, Paul says, God gave some. And there's four sums. And for God gave four different types, groups of people to the church. And this is clearly talking about the body of Christ, the Lord's church, his local church. If you're not sure, look at verse 15, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. That is a description of the Lord's church. And so he gave some, these different groups, to the church. Now, what I'm going to share with you about Martha and Mary and Lazarus isn't necessarily this exact group or groups, but Jesus gave some, and they're for a purpose. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church of Jesus Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. There are different ones, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and Marthas and Marys and Lazarus. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So let's talk about John the 12th chapter. And it says there in John the 12th chapter, verse 1, that it was 6 days before the Passover, and Passover is always observed at Jerusalem, and Bethany's just a short walk, about 6 miles. Okay, maybe that's not such a short walk for some of us, but it's not a long ways from Jerusalem. And so Jesus goes, and he has done this before. At least we know of two other times in which he is at Bethany, at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he comes there, and this is what it says in John 12, verse 2. There they made him a supper. This is something that these three siblings did. It's kind of interesting. This house is a house of celebration. It's a party house. Think about it. They're throwing a party. They are so thankful because of what Jesus has done for them. One of the things I think that we need to do from time to time, and we've just gone through Thanksgiving, and we count our blessings, and we talk about what God has done for you. What has God done for you? What are you thankful for? God had done something in their life that had literally changed their life. I believe that God does stuff in our life that literally changes our life. We can at least start with our salvation. And since I have been saved from the age of 13, that is just one of the milestones that I can point to and say God has done some incredible things in my life and has literally changed my life. The course of my life would be totally different without the Lord in it. And it would be good for us from time to time to pause, to stop and to throw a party and to celebrate. And you know, the intent of worship of the first day of the week, of our coming together, should be to celebrate Jesus and what he has done for us in our life, if not even in the last week, for what he has done for us. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. She was a server, and she was a type A personality. She was one to get it, to, if there was something to be organized, she was going to do it. We need people like that. This is a good thing. This isn't a bad thing. She was, her personality was, you know, sometimes we talk about the four different personalities and stuff. If you want to label it, she was a choleric. She was one who was going to get in and lead it and get it done and make sure everything was done, and her type A personality. And this party for her didn't start on this day. She had it all organized. And everything was going on. Now, sometimes when we serve, we know the very first time we're introduced to the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, Jesus is teaching. Martha, again, is serving. And as she is serving, there's nothing wrong with her serving Jesus. There's nothing wrong with us serving our Lord. There's all kinds of things. We need people to get things done. We need people to take out the garbage. We need people to vacuum the floor. We need people to do things, all kinds of jobs, to mow the grass. Those things have to get done, and what a great opportunity that we can serve. And some of them are mundane, but they're great opportunities for us. And some of them aren't quite that mundane, but there's great opportunity for us to do things that can help in the service of God. And so she gets upset. It says in verse 40. But Mary was cumbered about much service. She had so much going on, and she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, does not thou care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. There's nothing wrong with the service of Mary. Matter of fact, I want you to understand that when we get to the 12th chapter, This great feast, this celebration that she hosts and prepares the meal, it is acknowledged as a good thing. So it wasn't that she should have been doing what Mary was doing. There was nothing wrong with her serving Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. One of the issues that Jesus says, he says, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She had so many things going on. Her sometimes type A personalities, melancholies, or cholerics, we have so many things that we got to do. We don't have time for it all. And so we get so busy that we don't have time for life. We don't have time for our priorities. The service, the thing, becomes the object of importance instead of the person of Jesus Christ that we serve. Does that make sense? And so we get so busy. She got so cumbered. She got so... And then the other thing that sometimes happens to us when we're like this, the danger is, I have cleaned, I have mowed, I have washed windows, And how many times have you done it? I'm always doing it. When are you going to help me? Pastor, you need to make these other members do this. It would be easier for me to get you to stop doing it. But that's not going to happen either, because that's your personality and that's the way you serve the Lord. And so we want everybody to be like us. And folks, everybody isn't like us. Even Paul said in the church, there were some and they were different. Right? And it's okay to be different. We need different. I can appreciate the service of those who serve. I like coming into a clean church. I like sitting down when one puts their heart into it and invests their time into a meal. You can taste it. Those who prepare food because it's the necessity of life, you have to eat, and so you fix something. Well, you can taste that, but that in which it is an appreciation and they serve it and they do it because they want to say thank you, or they want to show that it's about who they are. You can taste that. You can see that. You can feel that. And what a great thing. And we can celebrate Jesus, but she had so many things going on. I want you to look at what she does. She scolds Jesus. She tells Jesus what to do. We need to be careful. I think it's supposed to work the other way around. I think God is supposed to be telling us what to do, right? And in doing so, God is supposed to be telling you what to do. It is not my place. We have a story like this. When Peter had denied Christ, he ends up by the fire after he had went fishing. And Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter answers and he gets frustrated. And he says, "Enough about me." And he says, "Jesus, what about John?" Right? And that's what Martha did. You know, "I need help, Lord." God has called you to do a job. And if you need help, God will call somebody to come alongside. It's not for you to go tell him. Does that make sense? You serve where you're called. And we need servers. It's an incredible... We need people who have this personality and are of this type. And we can appreciate that. But I don't want you to understand that this kind of person is just about... I mean, in every aspect of their life that they do, they're all in. And what's really interesting is we're going to see how Mary was kind of singular in her relationship to Christ. Martha was multifaceted in one sense. She was a server, but in another sense she was a theologian. I mean, in the same energy that she put into her service to her Jesus, into her Savior, she also put in her knowledge of her Savior. And in everything she did, it was with great knowledge. And when Jesus came to her, or as she came to Jesus when Lazarus had died, we see the depth of her theology, the depth of her understanding of the Word of God, and the depth of her understanding of who and what Jesus was all about. In John, the 11th chapter, she's the one that says, and Jesus, she says, "Lord, if you'd have been here," but she says, "Lord, I know, I understand, Lord, that whatsoever thou will ask of God, you'll give it." She, this great theological and understanding of who Jesus was. "I know who you are. I know the power that you have." She goes on and she says unto Jesus, "I know that he's going to rise again, the resurrection." She had this great understanding. And then the last one there in Verse 27. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I mean, look at who and what she's about. She's not just about serving, but anything she does, she puts in great energy and great effort. And these kinds of people have great ability to serve and to lead, but with great knowledge with who and what Jesus is. The second person I want us to talk about is Mary. Martha served, but she had a sister. And it says, and then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Isn't that kind of interesting? This house, the celebration, all of the food that Martha had been fixing, the odors, the smells. And you can see her work. You can smell the work of Martha. And now another sister comes in, and her focus is different. It's kind of interesting. There are three places in these three times we have at this house. Each time, Mary is made mention in reference to the feet of Jesus. And what she's doing at the feet of Jesus is worshiping. Mary has a little different personality than Martha. Where Martha is very goal-oriented, Mary is people-oriented. And a person in her life that has changed her life is Jesus. And if we were to identify the personality of Mary, I think she's probably a melancholy. I think she has some feelings, and she expresses those. And it's kind of interesting in Luke, the 39th chapter, that there, when Martha was all upset in the kitchen, which there was nothing wrong with her serving Jesus, the problem was the attitude that went with it. But in that story, it says Mary, which was at the feet of Jesus. And then we in the 11th chapter, when Lazarus has died and she comes out to meet Jesus, what does she do? When she saw Jesus, she fell at his feet. I think it's fascinating that in all three stories, we see her at the feet of Jesus, learning and worshiping. And what an incredible thing that she does. And everyone can see it, and everyone can experience it. We need Marys. They worship. And I tend to identify with Martha. More of a server, more of that mentality. Not always in touch with my feelings and the feelings of others. Sometimes we'll go home and Joyce will say, did you know so-and-so, they're, you know, they were feeling this, or did you notice that? And it's like, huh? That's not my strength. But that doesn't mean it's not important. And here's the thing that is so important about Mary's. And this isn't a gender issue. This isn't something that just women do. There are men who are great about this. When Martha serves, they organize and other people can come and serve alongside of them. That's a good thing. Here's the thing about Mary's. When they worship, other people can come and worship with them. And things on my own that I won't feel, because of this sense of worship and awe, that you marries, that you with this personality, you transport me and people like me to be able to worship with you and feel in such a way that I don't do on my own. That's what church is about. Does that make sense? That we can do as a corporate body that I can't do on my own. And God knows that we need that. And that's why he called his church and organized his church and commanded us to be part of a local body. And I believe it's because of these people that, as Paul describes in Ephesians, the first chapter, that we are able to sit in heavenly places. That the very presence of heaven, that we are as if we are in the presence of God himself worshiping. And she did something that was very incredible. And the whole house noticed. Everyone was affected by her worship. The third person there was Lazarus. And it says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Lazarus was actually like a guest of honor. If you go down to the 12th chapter, down to verse 17, it says, "And the people, therefore, that was with him when he had called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record or testified." And it goes on, verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him," or came to Jesus, "for that they heard that he had done this miracle." There were people who were testifying. And Lazarus, who had been a dead person, was part of this celebration. And the sisters were so thankful that Lazarus was alive. And it makes me think of the parables in Luke, where it talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And when each one of those is found, when a sheep is found, when that coin, that thing that has value is found, and when that son is found, after every one of those stories, there is a celebration that takes place. And it says that there is celebration in heaven at one that repents. And when we are saved, we are brought into a relationship of life, a relationship with God, as though we had been dead and separated from God. And Lazarus represented this great transformation from a dead person to a living person. And they were celebrating Lazarus. And it goes on in that chapter, and it says in verse 9, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there," that Lazarus was there. And they came not for Jesus, not just to see Jesus, but that they might see Lazarus. That there are people who want to know you, and when they see that your life is different because you were once dead in sin and now alive unto God, that they want to see your life, and they will ask you questions about that. And they wanted to see Lazarus, whom he or Jesus had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put... We often miss this verse. You know, Jesus was doing so many things that they wanted to put him to death, and they had conspired, and now Jesus had brought Lazarus back to life, and now not only Jesus was a threat unto their way of life, but Lazarus was a threat. And they were conspiring to even kill Lazarus. In verse 11, because that by reason of him, because of reason of Lazarus, many Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And it's kind of interesting that there was this, we had read the verse earlier about this testifying. And we've talked about Martha, the servers, and those who are diligent about studying and in everything they do. And then we've talked about the Marthas, or the Marys, the worshipers. And then we have people like Lazarus, who have a story to tell. And oh, the story it is. You can just imagine. Lazarus, what happened? Well, you know, I was dead. And being dead, you know, he didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. If he was dead, he was in Abraham's bosom, as described in Luke, the 16th chapter, right? Think about that. He was being comforted by God. He was dead. He was in heaven. Think about that. Lazarus, what happened? I heard Jesus call. Remember the story? He was dead, and they had prepared the body, and he was all wrapped up as a mummy. And he comes hopping out. And Jesus says, don't you think you ought to let the poor guy go? Lazarus, what happened? I was dead, and I came out, and everybody was more worried about Jesus than me, and they just left me there. And then somebody unwrapped me. And remember what the sisters said? Jesus, he's been dead so long, his body, his flesh is rotting, Jesus. He stinks. And Lazarus said, I don't stink. I'm whole. What a story he has. And remember the importance of the Gospels? What Jesus can do for others, Jesus can do for you. And then when Lazarus says, I was dead, but I'm alive. I was a mess, but I'm whole. Jesus can do that for you. And we should be testifying that I was dead. And I was condemned to hell, but because of Jesus Christ, I have a relationship with God, and I'm whole, and I'm a new creature, and there's incredible things going on in my life. And because of my life, people can see what God can do for them and come to know Jesus. As they came to know Jesus because of Lazarus, they can come to know Jesus because of your testimony. I wish the story ended there. What an incredible celebration. What an incredible house of worship. What a incredible service that must have been. But it's kind of interesting. Then one of the disciples, and of course, not only is this guy a disciple, he's an apostle. Oftentimes it's someone that's been in the church well established for a long time that does this. Judas, verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? We have the server in Martha, we have the worshiper in Mary, we have the testifier in Lazarus. And oftentimes in church, we have the hinderers. and Lazarus couldn't appreciate the odor and the focus that was put on Jesus. And he had to just do something to take the focus off of our Lord and Savior. We need to be careful that we're not like Judas, that we're not hinderers to other people serving, that we're not hinderers to other people worshiping, that we're not hinderers to other people testifying. It's a pretty serious thing. And we need to be very careful that we're not like this and call into question other people's relationship and service and worship and testimony. Verse 6 tells us, this he said not because he cared for the poor. I mean, what a great thing if Judas would have said, you know what, my burden. We need to help others, and in helping others, they can see and come to know Jesus. But no, it wasn't because of that. It wasn't because he had a burden for the poor or for the lost. His heart. Could you imagine the heart of Mary? She was thankful. The heart of did I say Mary? The heart of Martha was thankful. The heart of Mary was thankful. The heart of Lazarus was thankful. There at that house of worship, the heart of Lazarus, he wanted to take. Judas, I don't know what I said. I know what I meant. The heart of Judas, he was a taker. He was a thief. He robbed from others. And he was going to rob her service, her worship, and his testimony. But I think the server, the worshiper, and the testifier overcame this. And Paul talks about the importance of these people. We need them till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These people can help us see Jesus in service, in worship, and in testifying. Verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part. We all play a part. And maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, unto the building up, unto the encouraging of itself in love. The last thing I want to touch on, if the piano and song leader will come forward. We find that because of Lazarus' testimony, Martha's service, Mary's worship, it says that people came to know Jesus. What an incredible thing. What are you doing in response to your thankfulness for what God has done for you? Are you appreciative of what God has done? Let's all stand. What page you got?